The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
This volume has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Benny and Joyce Westreich of Los Angeles, California, Le'ilui Nishmas, Avraham Doiv ben Akiva Yonason Unger, Zichroni Levracha. May the Torah studied be an everlasting zechus for his neshama.
Kedushin Daf Yud Beis. Our Gemara brings down a member of Shmuel. Shmuel says that even though the halacha is that a person's mekadesh isha was something that is not worth a shava pruta, the halacha is that she's not mekudeshes. Nevertheless, whenever a person's mekadesh isha, even if the item is found not to have a shava pruta, we have to be concerned that she's possibly mekudeshes because shema shava pruta amadai. Perhaps in the land of Madai, this item is worth a pruta. And therefore, wherever a person is a Kaddishus woman, she's a Suffolk Mekudeshus. The Gemara mentions that Rav Chista argues on Shmuel, because Rav Chista, one time, a story came in front of Rav Chista that a man was a Kaddish woman with Avnei Koichla, with the blue stones. And Rav Chista was trying to figure out if these blue stones were worth a pruta. And the Gemara says that if Rav Chista would hold like Shmuel, that even if it's not worth a pruta, she would nevertheless be mekudeshes, midin safik, then there would be no point in Rav Chista trying to figure out if these stones are worth a pruta or not. Because even if we would determine that they're not worth a pruta, nevertheless, we would have to be concerned that these stones are worth a pruta in Madai, and therefore she will be a safik mekudeshes. So what would be the point of Rav Chista's determination? So the Ritva asks Akasha. The Ritva asks that maybe Rav Chista agrees to Shmuel, and he would be concerned that perhaps these stones are Shava Prutu Mamadai, but the purpose of Rav Chista's determination of whether or not these stones had a Shava Pruta, were worth a Pruta, was that if he would determine that the stones were worth a Pruta, then the woman would be Vadai Mekudeshes, and if another person comes and is Mekadesher, she would be Mekudeshes to the first person and not to the second person, since we had already determined that the stones were worth a Pruta, and she was certainly Mekudeshes to the first one, Midin Vadai. Whereas if she would only be Mekudeshes because perhaps they're worth a Pruta B'madai, she would not be Vadai Mekudeshes, she would not be more than a Safik Mekudeshes, and if the second person was Mekadesher, she would be Mekudeshes to the second person. So the Adam Meluim brings down this Kash of the Ritva, and he says a very beautiful teretz. The Adam Meluim, in Sim Laman Aleph, brings down that the tour says over in the name of the Ramah that if a person is Mekadesh Isha and with an item and we don't know if it's a Shava Pruta, and then we determine that this thing is worth a Shava Pruta, the halacha is that she's Vadai Mekudeshes. However, if we determine it's not a Shava Pruta, then she's not Mekudeshes. It's not 100% clear what the Ramah means. I'm sorry, I said over the Ramah a little bit wrong. He doesn't say that she's Vadai Mekudeshes. He says if we determine that it has a Shava Pruta, then she's Mekudeshes. If we determine it doesn't have a Shava Pruta, then she's not Mekudeshes. It's not clear what the Ramah means. Does the Ramah mean that if we determine that it has a Pruta, she's a Vadai Mekudeshes? And if we don't determine that it has a Pruta, then she's maybe a specific Mekudeshes? Or does he mean that if it's determined to have a Shava Pruta, she's a Suffolk Mekudeshes, whereas if it's determined that it does not have a Pruta, then she's Vadei not Mekudeshes. There's the two possibilities of understanding the Ramah. The Beis Shmuel brings down the Ramah as meaning that if we determine that the object has a Shava Pruta, then she's Vadei Mekudeshes to this person, and Kedushin will not be Chal of somebody else's Mekadesher. Asks the Ktsois, asks Avd Meluim, that this seems to be in contradiction to halacha that we learned in Chayshim Mishpat. There's a halacha in Chayshim Mishpat of Oino, that if a person cheats somebody else on the price, he rips them off, he overcharges on an item, the halacha is that he either has to return the amount that he ripped them off, or if under certain circumstances the entire sale is invalid. Says the Ramah in Chayshim Mishpat, what happens if we don't know what the object was worth at the time of the purchase, but subsequently it was determined to have been that the person was overcharged? In other words, we look into what the price was, and we determine that right now the price is much lower than what the person paid. So the Ramah says, and nevertheless, the buyer who was ripped off does not have redress to get his money back from the moicher. from the seller, because we don't know whether or not the price fluctuated between the time that he bought it and the time that it was determined to have been lower than what he paid. This halacha is based on a Mordechai. The Mordechai brings down machloikis. The Gemara says that if a person gives a matana, and we don't know if the person was a bari or a shchivmara at the time that he gave the matana, we don't know if he was healthy or whether he had a terminal illness and he was on his deathbed. And the halacha is that if a person gives a present when he's terminally ill, that when he's allowed to be chayzer from the matana, he's allowed to nullify the present that he gave. So the halacha is, so now we don't know what the person was, and later on the person wants to back out of giving the present. So the Rav Nosson says, and this is how we paskin, that if the person was healthy, is healthy at the time that he's backing out, and we assume that he was healthy at the time of the giving of the present. However, if he was a shchivmara when he backs out, so then we assume that he was also a shchivmara at the time that he gave the present. So the Rav Nosson relies on the concept called chazaka d'hashta. If right now we see that the item that the situation is a certain way, we assume that the situation was in that kind of state previously also. So the Mordechai brings down an opinion that said that if we find at this time that there's a no in the mekach, that the one of the parties got ripped off based on the price that we see right now, we would assume that at the time of the sale the price is also what it is now. However, the Mordechai brings down a different Mishnah's chiluk on that, and says that we wouldn't go like that. We wouldn't assume that just because the situation is a certain way now, that would prove to us that the situation was that way also at the time of the sale. Why? Because since prices fluctuate very easily, we can't make that kind of assumption. And he says some other reasons also, but the upshot is that we don't rely on this concept when it comes to the price of items. Asks the Avn Meluim, this appears to be in contradiction with the Ramah that we just said over. Since the Mordechai says that we can't assume based on what the price is now, and the Ramah passes like this, we can't assume based on what the price is now that the price was also that way at the time of the sale, so why would we rely on this when it comes to Kedushin? And why would we say that just because we find that the item is worth a pruta or not worth a pruta now, that would determine to us that at the time of the Kedushin it was also either worth a pruta or not worth a pruta? That determination should not be valid because perhaps the price fluctuated between the time of the Kedushin and the time of the determination. So the Avn Meluim wants to say that that's not the Pshat in the Ramah. The Ramah is not relying on Chazaka d'Hashta. The Ramah is relying on something else entirely. The Ramah is relying on Cheskes Tnuya. The halach of the Ramah is, according to one of the ways that we learned before, that the Ramah doesn't mean to say that if we determine that the item is worth a pruta now, that we'll assume that it certainly was worth a pruta at the time of the Kedushin. No. If we determine that it's worth a pruta now, she'll be suffik mekudeshes. However, if we determine that it's not worth a pruta, she'll be vaday not mekudeshes. Why is that better? Why would the fact that we determine that the item is not worth a pruta now have any impact on whether or not she's mekudeshes? Why wouldn't we say that we would be concerned that the price fluctuated and indeed at the time of the Kedushin it was worth a pruta? Answers Ad Meluim, there's another concept called the Cheskes Pnuya. Since the woman was Becheskes Pnuya, she was originally not married, we would assume that her situation did not change, and therefore the Cheskes Pnuya that tells us to assume that her situation didn't change, that is the determining factor in saying that since we don't see that it's worth a pruta now, we have no right to contradict the Cheskes Pnuya, which instructs us to assume that she remained a Pnuya just like she was previously. If we find now that it is worth a Pnuya, then there's a reis in the Cheskes Pnuya. That forces us to be concerned that perhaps the Cheskes Pnuya changed, although the price can fluctuate, and it's not a rock solid proof from the fact that it's worth a pruta now, that it was worth a pruta at the time of the Kedushin. However, it is a source of concern, and we have to be concerned that her situation changed, and we cannot rely anymore on the Cheskes Pnuya. However, if we find that it certainly does not have a pruta now, then although that's not 100% proof that at the time of Kedushin it did not have a pruta, but that allows us to rely on the Cheskes Pnuya, that tells us to assume that the woman's status did not change at from the time of before the Kedushin to the time of after the Kedushin. So really, the Tzitz is getting out of this problem, the Anlum is getting out of this problem by saying that the the halachic basis of the Ramah is not Chazaka de Hashta, because that has been disqualified by the Mordechai based on the fact that prices fluctuate. The basis of our assumption is the Chazaka, the Meikara, the Cheskes Pnuya that the woman has. Based on that, the Ksai says based on that, we can easily understand an answer to Ritva's Kasha. The Ritva asks the question that since perhaps Rav Chisda agrees to Shmuel, and certainly we would have to be concerned that the item is worth a pruta in Madai, and therefore, even if we determine that it's not worth a pruta, she would nevertheless be a suffix mekudeshes. However, the halach of Rav Chisda, the reason Rav Chisda was trying to figure out if it was worth a pruta now is to establish that she's a vadai mekudeshes. According to what Avner Malum just said, based on that Mordechai that's brought down in Chayshim Mishpat, we would never be able to say that she's vadai mekudeshes since the prices fluctuate, and the fact that it's worth a pruta now has no bearing on whether or not it was worth a pruta at the time of the kedushin. Rav Chisda's determination could only have been relevant to whether it was not worth a pruta, in which case we would say that the woman can rely on her cheskes pnuya and say that she's vadei not mekudeshes. But according to Shmuel, we would never rely on her cheskes pnuya because we would always have to be concerned that the item is worth a pruta in madai. So that's how the Avner Malum answers the kasha of the Ritva. However, now there's a kasha on the Torah. How could the Torah bring down this Ramah? After all, the Torah paskins like Shmuel, who holds that we always have to be concerned that it's worth a pruta madai. If that's the case, then what would be the point of the Torah bringing down the Ramah, since anyways the woman is suffik mekudeshes, and if we find that the object is worth a pruta, we would anyways not be able to assume that she's vadei mekudeshes because prices fluctuate. The answer to this, says the Avner Malum, is that the Torah is in agreement with the opinion of his father, the Rosh, who holds that Shmuel's concern of Shema Shavu Prutum Amadai is only Midrabanan. Only the Rabbanan were concerned about this. However, Midraisa, we don't have to be concerned that Shavu Prutum Amadai. But, on the other hand, if we find that it's worth a pruta, then since there's a reis in the cheskes pnuya, like we said, the fact that we found it's worth a pruta, even though it's not 100% proof that it was worth a pruta at the time of kedusha, nevertheless, it's cause for concern. And midai reisa, I have to be concerned that it was worth a pruta at the time of the kedusha. Therefore, that will be a suffix dai reisa. So that's why the Torah brings down the Ramah. However, the Shulchan Aruch, who paskins not like the Ramah, says the Avner Malum, that's why the Shulchan Aruch didn't even mention the halacha. I'm sorry, since the Shulchan Aruch does not agree with the opinion of the Rosh, and the Shulchan Aruch holds that the Kashin and Shavu Prutu Amadai, Shmuel's concern, is a Dereisidika concern, that's why the Shulchan Aruch totally omitted the opinion of the Ramah and did not bring it down at all, which was one of the Beis Shmuel's kashas. Beis Shmuel asked on the Shulchan Aruch why the Shulchan Aruch does not mention this opinion of the Ramah. The answer is, according to Avner Malum, since we just said that the opinion of the Ramah is only relevant if we hold like the Rosh, that Shmuel's concern is only Midrabanan, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch does not bring down the opinion of the Ramah.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.